For another episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm Pat, and I've got my co-host, my cohort, my co-buddy here.
Glad to be here, everyone.
We're glad to be back. We had a week-long hiatus there.
Yeah, a little bit of a break.
Yeah, 1 week break. Yeah. I had my little kid sister staying with us, so.
You guys have a good time?
Yeah, we did. We saw, watched a lot of movies, and went to the Orlando Science Center.
Very cool.
Some fucking chump I know gave me tickets.
How was it?
It was good. I was a little bit worried that she's at that age. She's 12, about to be 13. She's at that age where, like, it really could have been hit or miss. Like, where it might have been too kiddy for her that she would have thought it wasn't cool or interesting. Or she would have liked it a lot because she's a kid. And thankfully, she fell into the latter there.
So good.
She liked it a lot. We spent a lot of time down on the first floor with animals and stuff. We all got to pet the baby alligator.
Yeah.
Which my wife was not happy about because it was like, had its like mouth taped shut and stuff just for our entertainment, she said. Which I kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, it's for safety reasons, but.
Sure.
Those animals are super spoiled.
Yeah, I could tell.
It's not like that. Gator's having a hard time.
Yeah, so we got lucky, actually. We were down there right when they did the show for the feeding and stuff.
Cool.
So it was fun. Yeah, and so we just went to dinner a couple times and went to the Science Center and hung out, played video games. So played some Fortnite because that's what the kids love.
They love Fortnite.
Yeah, so that's all she wanted to do the whole time she was here. I've got 1,000 fucking games here, and she wanted to play Fortnite the whole time.
A free one.
Yeah. So, what have you been up to?
A lot, but also not a lot. Just my busy schedule, man. School is winding down for the summer. Finalizing the rest of my stuff for my trip next month.
Where are you going?
To Japan again.
All right. Going back. To Japan.
Yeah, I'm going there, and so I just need to work out the last kinks and stuff, like make sure, you know, this is the things you don't really think about, like the phone service while you're there.
The sex hotel.
The sex hotels, making sure that, you know, I pick the best one. You know.
You gotta check out the girls ahead of time, pre-screen them.
Gotta pre-screen them, yeah. We've been having Skype conversations just to review everything that's gonna happen. No. Let's go ahead and nix that right away. Just trying to figure out certain things, just because the JR train pass is really useful, but it's also weird when you start going to, like, niche areas in Japan, because the schedule gets really kind of shaky on some of the bullet trains. So I'm, like, still doing the math to see if it would be worth it for me to even get the JR train pass the entire 2 weeks, or if I should get individual tickets for certain things. So I'm still doing the math on that.
It's so hard to decide.
It is. I'm probably going to end up spending too much money. Like, it's what's going to end up happening.
We should have gotten the pass because when we went, because I think, like, just the tickets to and from on the bullet train from Tokyo to Kyoto.
Kansai area.
Yeah. Just those tickets alone, it ended up being like as much as the JR pass. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I should have got it then. Because there's other stuff that you use it, the JR line for too.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's valid for a lot of things, but it's also not valid for like local railways and stuff too. So you have to be kind of conscious of that. So
I think it works on the buses though.
There's a lot of buses that it works on, but not everything. Because
we took a lot of buses.
Yeah, but there's also some local buses that it's not valid for. So sometimes it's kind of a hassle because you just have to, like, it's really hard to not be that, like, annoying tourist at some points, just because it is really complicated, and I think it's convoluted even for them at times.
Right.
So yeah, just finishing out things for that. So you know, let me know what you want me to look for. Game wise, I'm not really going to be hunting for games this much. This is a lot more. I'm going to like Gifu, Hiroshima, Nara. Like I'm not at all like I'm going to have a few days in Tokyo, but I'm not like oh my god, I'm kind of I already had my trip where I got to experience like Akihabara and everything, mm-hmm. and that was like a top priority. Now it's like much lower on the list where if I have time, I'll stop by, but it's less of a priority. So yeah, that's coming up quick. Only about a month, so you'll have 2 weeks of not having me around for that.
Right. I'll probably just have Snyder come by. He was a hit.
Yeah.
I got multiple positive feedbacks.
Cool.
Saying they liked him.
Snyder's great.
Yep.
So I guess we'll dive into the first thing, which is I got my Nintendo Classic.
Oh, yeah. So. They did re-release that, didn't they?
That kind of came out of nowhere, but it's not came out of nowhere. It was announced, but it just, they actually did it.
Yeah.
They actually relaunched the system, and it was readily available, and I had multiple opportunities to just get it, and I would just keep going, eh, I'm good. Like, I was up at like midnight when it was posted, mm-hmm. and I like went in the websites, all the websites that are available, and I just looked at it, and I'm like, eh, I'm fine, because I'm just, you know, the increasing battle of trying not to buy too much crap.
Right.
And then you actually sold me on it because you talked about how the emulation is better on it than like versus like the Wii U.
See, what's funny is I wasn't even trying to sell you on it. I was saying, because I just was like, I think I was talking about using. See, so for me, I got my controller finally.
Yeah,
those were controllers. To find back the controllers then. Were the hardest part to find. Never even saw one. That's how rare they were. Is never even seen one before. I was surprised how small the box was that it came in.
Yeah,
and yeah, so. After over, like, almost 2 years of looking, I finally got an extra controller. And the reason why I wanted one was to play Virtual Console NES games. And that's how the conversation started, and you were just like, I think you were like, well, why don't you just use your Wii U or whatever? Or you were talking about using your Wii U. And I was just like, oh, no, the Wii U emulation sucks. And I sent you a screenshot of, like, how bad it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did more research, and I was just like, man, the emulation on the Nintendo Classic's way better.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I wasn't trying to sell you on it. I was just...
Well, I already had a gift card to GameStop anyway, and I walked in, and I'm just like, all right, fine, I'll buy it. That's how I always kind of said that I would end up buying one. If it was completely convenient for me,
right,
and it was right in front of my face, I would buy one.
Okay.
So, which... brings me to, I think, hopefully, Nintendo actually did it this time and actually launched the system appropriately, because, like, every store you went to, even at night, had systems available.
Yeah, they had been out all day, and every GameStop I went to that day had a pile of them behind the counter still. So, that's the way to do it. I mean, it couldn't have asked for better. I wish that they would have released more controllers, because controllers, again, were almost as hard to find this time. I had to go to 3 different GameStops.
Yeah.
So, but I did get 2 controllers, so now I have 3 of them.
Cool.
2 for the system and 1 for my Wii.
Yeah, I went ahead and got an extra controller too. I do not want any third party shit for this thing.
I don't do third party controllers. Never have. Ever since I got the third party Dreamcast controller. And
the cat, what's it called? Cat brand, whatever it's called.
I don't know. Whatever. It was garbage, though. The shoulder button, like, came off, and so you had to, like, press the hard, like, switch inside. It was awful. So, yeah, but solid launch. I'm happy it's back. I'm glad people who want one can get one now. I still hold the opinion that nobody's going to actually play it, and they just want it to have it because it's popular.
Hey, well... it's $60.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess, do you think there was much more available because they had a lot more, or do you think a lot of the hype has died since then?
No, I think they made a lot more. I think they were like, this thing sold out immediately, and people were clamoring for more. Let's make more and make more money.
Yeah.
So they probably made way more units. So I think that's what it was. You know. Yeah, so not much to say about it.
No,
hope you
not.
Got your NES Classic out there. If not, you might have another day or two. Otherwise, you blew it. So, this was something I saw that I think is pretty interesting and also not surprising. GameStop is looking at a buyout.
Oh yeah, this has been all over.
Looking to liquidate basically. Maybe not liquidate, but they're looking for a buyer. They want to sell. They want to get the fuck out. They're not making money anymore. People are wise to them. They're not ripping people off as much as they used to anymore. People aren't falling for it.
I guess I hold probably on more unpopular opinion, but I don't really want to see GameStop close down, because if in the only instance I'd be okay with GameStop closing down is that if we had another game store step it up, because as it is right now, there's not many places you can go to find used games and stuff that, and I'm not trying to defend GameStop in any way. There's a lot of things they do that is shitty.
But the reason for what you're saying, though, like the fact that there's nowhere else to go, is because of GameStop.
I know
they bought
that,
out all the competitors.
Yeah.
So they bought everybody, and then now they're going away. It's like,
I know,
fuck you.
I don't really want to see those types of stores close down, because I don't see a scenario happen where GameStop closes down and then a bunch of small places just start popping up everywhere. I hope that happens, but I don't see it realistically happening.
Yeah.
Because you see how what it is right now, the alternative to GameStop that we have in our area, and a lot of times I prefer going to GameStop.
They don't even have modern games really.
They do.
They a little bit, but
I prefer going to GameStop over them, because I usually, they claim that they have better deals over there, but they don't. Like, a lot of times I get far better deals at GameStop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, because on one hand, it's like you'd like to see the evil GameStop go away.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it's like, well, then I won't have anywhere to buy my games anymore. I mean, I guess Amazon, but still,
you're not going to find that. I mean, right now they have buy two, get one free right now, and I buy up, my whole Vita collection is pretty much thanks to GameStop.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I like it because there's a GameStop every couple of miles.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And when you walk in there, when you walk in there, to be fair, yes, the employees a lot of time can be kind of crappy, but a lot of times they at least know what they're selling for the most part. They know far more than when you walk into Walmart or Target or
any
big retailer or even Best Buy. You walk in and talk to someone about video games, they usually don't know what you're talking about, and you have to really explain it to them and show them pictures and stuff. And at least when you go to GameStop, they specialize in it, so they know I saw that on my inventory list, I know what that is, and they know how to look for it and everything. And with other stores, it's just such a hassle to go out and buy games that, if it's not GameStop, I buy it online.
But on the other hand, if they go out of business, think of all the cheap games we're going to get.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Knowing them, they'll be shitty till the end.
It's tough, man, because it's on one hand, you'd like to see them go and other better stores pop up, but then on the other hand, that might not happen.
I don't think so. I think they wiped it out.
Yeah.
Any chance of that happening is pretty much not going to happen for a long time, and I don't see a physical market. I don't see a small store able to just start resurfacing physical game stores out of nowhere like that.
Rest in peace, EB and Rhino.
Yeah, and there was Play and Trade in the area too. Lots of game stores in the area.
That place kind of sucked though. But
it did, but it's just, it was nice to have more stores though. And
yeah.
So, no, I mean, I'm not ready for GameStop to leave just yet. I'm in the minority on it.
We hate you, but please don't go.
Please don't go.
Yeah.
So
I've hated you for years and said nothing but bad things about you, but now that you're actually leaving, I'm having second thoughts.
Recently, I've had not too many issues with them. I really haven't.
Even try and backtrack on GameStop.
I'm not trying to defend the company. I'm just saying that it's like I go to Walmart to do my grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Do I walk into Walmart and I'm like, man, I love this store.
Yeah.
do I walk around and go management's great. The
employees are so knowledgeable.
The employees are so knowledgeable. I'm sure the employees are getting treated like a fair wage. Everything's about the store is great. No, I go in there because it's convenient for me. I buy cheap groceries and I walk out and I'm done. Same thing with GameStop. I go on their website. I can look up any used game I want. I can see which ones are in the area and I run over there and get my game and leave. And it's nice to have that option. And if I don't have that option, I'm gonna be forced to a lot of those games. I'm gonna have to go on eBay, and they're gonna be more expensive, far more expensive if they're not available like that. I mean, I've gotten lots of gems for good deals at GameStop. Yeah. Like Gravity Rush Remastered, I got that for like, they actually raised the price on it even themselves recently. But like, I got
two?
Mine.
Or
the remastered one got raised.
What's that now?
I think they're charging 60 for it now.
Oof. Glad I got mine when I did.
Yeah. So, like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. I think people are like rushing to like celebrate when at the end of the day, though, I think everyone's screwed when all those stores close down.
Oh, yeah. It's not good. Once again, it's a. I mean, who knows? Who knows how it'll end up? But we'll be reporting on it as it unfolds. So stay tuned.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a live GameStop going out of business.
Yeah, can record videos like everybody did at Toys R Us.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there if they close down, but I won't be happy about it.
Toys R Us is officially gone now, guys. By the way, I'm not going to do a segment on it, but it's bye bye.
Is it like all the stores are gone?
Last day, yep.
Oh wow, I never actually stepped into another one.
I was literally at the Fordham Mall yesterday where they have a Toys R Us, and I was like, maybe. And I was like, no.
I hadn't been. We won't dwell on this too long, but someone was telling me to go, and I'm just like, I honestly don't want to walk in there because it's not at all what my childhood was anymore. I'm going to walk in there,
exactly.
And it's just going to be empty shelves and just going out of business signs everywhere.
The only reason I was going to go is see if I could snag some stuff up at like 90% off.
Yeah.
This is the last day, but... the main thing I wanted was a game display shelf, and it was the last day, and I only have a car, so I was like, even if I decide to buy something, I'm not going to be able to transport it, so.
Oh, well.
All right.
Rest in peace, buddy.
Bye.
So, Nintendo president recently, Shintaro Furukawa, actually started discussing a... Who knows what this actually means? Because all these comments get taken out of context and thrown in a different way, different directions. But they had a recent conversation about the various possibilities, quote, about a successor to the 3DS.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was just kind of a head scratcher for me.
I think that they're struggling to give up that market because it's still such a viable market. And I know you disagree on that a lot, but. It's still, those games still sell really well. Every time they release another system model, it still sells really well. And it's like at that weird model, weird price point where it's like, they can sell that system for like $100, $120 and the Switch is that $300 luxury system for Nintendo
right
now.
Yeah, well, it's because it's cheap. That's why it sells well still.
Yeah, but I mean, it's accessible to children and like.
Yeah.
And
but so is the Switch if it was cheaper.
True.
So,
I just don't see the Switch getting down to a price point like that anytime soon.
But the big thing is, what you're talking about, like you said, it always gets taken out of context, and it's like, that could just mean that they're looking at a new model.
Another 3DS model.
3DS, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I would love? A 3DS Micro.
Yeah.
Like, one that's small enough almost to, like, fit on as a keychain or something, like the Game Boy Micro.
Cool.
That's what I would be interested in. Something that's so tiny that I could have it in my pocket and barely notice. You know?
How would you use a touchscreen on something so small like that?
Well, it could be like the Game Boy Micro. So the bottom screen is like the bottom half of it is. It could be a clamshell like Game Boy Micro.
Yeah, an you idea.
Know? Yeah,
I think yeah.
And also the technology now is good enough that. Even if you use the same form factor as Game Boy Micro, you could put a bigger screen on there.
True.
So,
yeah.
The technology's so old now. I mean,
yeah,
10 years almost,
and over 10 years old out now. So
no, it was 2011. I thought.
Oh, I guess it was. For some reason, I was thinking 2007. That's definitely not the case.
That was the DS. I think.
Yeah.
2005. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on the possible successor to the 3DS? What are we going to get, a 4DS? It smells blasted at you?
I really don't know what they could do. I who knows in Nintendo? There could be some weird-ass announcement where everyone's just another head-scratcher thing.
There should be, if there's anything, it should be a successor to the Game Boy.
Small,
like a Game Boy Micro, but with new games.
I could see that happening. I'd be more than happy. I think there's a lot of people who are going to take the position of like, no, just focus on the Switch and that's it. I'm more of in the position that And I like the idea of more handhelds in the marketplace, so mm-hmm. I would be happy to see another 3DS model come out, like another successor to it. I guess I'm just with you, where at this point it just needs to be a completely economical option and
convenience
and economical.
Because if you're trying to come up with a more portable option than the Switch, basically, it better be fucking convenient and small and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, that's the thing. It better easily fit into my skinny jeans pocket. Like, yeah. That's the thing. And if it's not, then I'm not, there's no point to it.
I guess the only issue I could foresee with it is that I don't see them making another system where it plays games that are exclusive to that console. I think that would not be a wise move.
I don't know.
Or, I guess, I mean, as long as it's backwards compatible.
Maybe it could be something like, basically their solution to, like, mobile games.
Yeah, that's also another thing to look at.
They just put out, like, basically, it would be targeted towards kids who are too young to have a high-end cell phone. And then you just put games on it, like, crappy cell phone-type games.
I don't want to see that happen.
No, neither do I, but that's the only market that I could see them. There's only a couple possibilities, really. Maybe it's like a fitness tracker that involves, yeah. like, because Pokemon Go is so successful, maybe it'll be something that encourages people to, like, take it with them and be active and stuff.
That'd be cool. I could see that happening, and then only really in the Japanese market. Like, and not much more beyond that.
Well, this is unrelated, basically, but I just read a study that was, like, talking about how little Americans exercise and stuff. So, yeah, probably wouldn't be too popular here. but, yeah. So, I mean, once again, it's something that we'll keep an eye on. Who knows, though? I don't see them making any official announcement on that for a while.
They talk about this constantly. I think, honestly, as like I said in the beginning, I think they're just looking at the sales of the 3DS, and he's a new president, and he's just like, do I want to, like, end these clear, like, guaranteed sales that are happening right now for our company? Like, the system's still very viable, so why end it if it's not? I think it's like, if it's not broken, kind of story, where it's just like, yeah, just because we have a brand new thing that's working out great, like, a, you know, it's like Ford releases this new car, but their, like, economical car is still selling really well. Why end that one because you have a luxury car that's selling well?
Well, the biggest thing is, like, the Switch is not, in my mind, a portable console.
I agree.
To me, the Switch, the draw is I can lay on the couch or in bed and play it. That's the real draw. I don't take it out with me too often. I take it out somewhere with me if I'm going somewhere overnight, or if I know I'm going to be, like, in a comfortable setting, like someone else's house, for several hours.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I'm not bringing it out with me when I'm just going out for a few hours.
Yeah.
And I would very much like something the size of the Game Boy Micro or whatever that I can just throw in my pocket and play an RPG or something while I'm out somewhere for, you know, and that to me is... That to me is probably the only real possibility.
I wonder if this would just be so stupid to do it, but Nintendo would do something silly like this. Is have a device that's like an all-around device where it's backwards compatible with 3DS games. It's got like new digital things and a fitness thing, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But also it has the option to stream your Switch. That'd be so silly.
It's not that absurd, honestly. Yeah. Also, maybe a... here's an idea. Maybe like a sort of like a Switch type thing where it's like like you said, it's backwards compatible with 3DS stuff, but the top screen is detachable, so like if you're gonna play something that doesn't require the second screen, whether it be that version's like new games or whatever, it's more portable, it's smaller form factor and stuff. You know, whatever, who knows. Just some ideas of what it could be. It's probably not anything, really. It's probably just they're looking at options.
Yeah.
So, all right, what else you got? Feed me the topic.
All right, man. Well, we just an update on a previous thing we talked about. I don't know, not too much to say about it, but the PUBG's developers did end up dropping that lawsuit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, I didn't. Doesn't surprise me. So, you know, what are you going to do? Just, there's, I feel like, there's so many different lawsuits that you could have over the years of, you know, what are you going to, is Nintendo going to sue Sega because Sonic was a platformer? Like, obviously, this is a far more egregious ripoff if you look at the games, like,
it is, and it's, I still hold a thing that that Battle Royale, like, idea isn't, like, super original to begin
the
with.
The fucking author of Battle Royale should sue them.
Yeah.
Because it's the same concept.
Same exact concept, and it's just, it's not that crazy of a variation of, a, like, a deathmatch mode. It's just something, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it's something that's really simple that not a lot of people were doing, and then obviously someone did it, and then now it's become popularized.
Right.
But I don't think the idea that's itself is like a groundbreaking, oh my god, can you believe they created this?
Yeah.
Type deal. So it doesn't surprise me that they probably were like looking into it and were just, we're going to spend a lot of time in court and we don't really have that much of a case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, could Marvel sue DC for having Justice League after they did the Avengers? Like, it's just, where does it end?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, whatever. Here's a little update on after the E3 Nintendo stuff. Wild Man Reggie has been making the rounds and talking about, like, missing games and stuff that wasn't there, and basically addressed the fact that they do have a lot of these games in development, but they just chose not to show them off.
Yeah.
And that they're focusing on games that are like 6 to 8 months out. Mm-hmm. He talked specifically about Animal Crossing and Mother 3.
Well, he just got pestered about Mother 3 again, and he gave the same answer that he likes.
He's tired of
being asked about it.
Which is that when they have something to announce, they'll announce it, and that they're well aware of the fan demand for it.
He gets asked that on a daily basis, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
For years.
And then with Animal Crossing, he said that he was like, listen, after the success of the app, the smartphone game and stuff, he's like, obviously we're going to make another Animal Crossing, you know. Same thing, though, when we have something to announce, we'll announce it. We already knew this. It's kind of sad that the people need to be told these things.
Yeah.
Like, what else? What do you? Nope, we're only got 2 games in the pipeline for the foreseeable future, and that's what everyone's working at on Nintendo.
But, you know, that's just how the video game market is, man. Like, people like being told, oh, did you hear that so-and-so is coming out? Like, when, like, question mark, whenever year? And, like, that's what people are used to. And Nintendo's being really firm on their stance now on how they market their new games.
Yeah.
And you gotta hand it to them for at least doing that.
Well, they want to set themselves apart from fucking dumbasses like Sony and stuff, where they're like, we got a Final Fantasy VII remake coming out.
Ooh, look at that logo.
In 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what it looks like. They're not even pretending like it's gonna be soon. They were like,
what's his name, it's like, said we shouldn't have announced it.
Yeah,
like,
well, because they're saying it could genuinely be on the PlayStation 5. Like, it genuinely might take 10 years from when they announced it, which is kind of weird because the game's already been made, you're just remaking it, so why is it taking 10 years for a remake?
Well, yeah, but they're remaking the game completely.
Sure, but
they
don't have to rewrite the story and stuff like that. They don't have to rewrite the music and all that. You just re-record it.
I mean, but it looks like a completely different game, though.
Yeah, like, I'm sure people will be real happy about that.
Well, like, it's not even like,
it's like a fucking action RPG.
It's an action RPG now.
Stupid.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it looks like they're reworking it from the complete, like, it's a brand new game at this point. It's not really, I don't really call it a remake anymore. It's not like, it's not a remaster.
Don't call it a comeback.
So, yeah, I think it's good to have that position of being apart from those people. It's just, you know, it's just a little frustrating when, like, you don't see anything down the pipeline for a while. Like, well, I think the problem was, I still go back to that E3 in that they should have at least teased something.
Yeah. I mean, I still go back to what I said in the last podcast where, like, there's got to be some secret game that's coming out with that Switch Online or something. Yeah. Like, there's got to be something.
The more and more that's being discussed, it sounds like it's just more and more shaky. And,
yeah.
Like, I think some of the wording recently was just like, it was almost like we're hoping to launch September. Like, it's just like, it's like I said, I think that I would not be surprised if they delay it again.
Pathetic. It's 2018 and you need 2 years to launch your online service? Pathetic.
I don't think they know what's going on.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
This is like 2005 we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Like, Xbox Live, 2004. Like, come on, get it together, guys.
Yeah.
Unreal. Mm-hmm. Unreal.
Well, according to Nintendo, what is Xbox Live? What does that
mean? Yeah. So, all right, well, we also got an announcement. They're looking at more cloud-based Switch games.
Really? Where'd you hear that? What? Like anything?
Capcom is looking into it.
Huh.
So they're talking about Monster Hunter World, possibly, and yeah. What do you think about that?
For Capcom, they're just like, hey, let's just make some more free money and just stream this game rather than having to port it.
And then also you have the Resident Evil 2 remake coming out that could be a possibility. They basically said that the Resident Evil 7 was to, like, test the waters and see how it went down.
And I guess it was successful?
Yeah. I mean, everything I've heard is that it runs real well.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
I'm still, like, I hold the same opinion. Like, I don't want them to just keep releasing games like that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it is nice to have the option. Because those games are not coming to Switch. They're not going to. And if they do, then they're going to look like shit and probably play like shit. So,
yeah.
I mean, Doom and Wolfenstein already had huge liberties taken with their fidelity, and those games were made years ago. And we're talking about games that aren't even out yet.
True.
That are coming out on essentially almost a next-gen console, the PS4 Pro and stuff. So the difference is going to be vast if they were to port it. And then it just the work it would take, it's not worth it. Also, I think that isn't the Switch running like a last gen version of the Unreal Engine? Like they're not. It's not the. I don't think it's the modern Unreal Engine that
it
runs.
I don't think so either.
So that's an issue too. You know, I'm on the fence about it because on one hand I'm like, yeah, I don't want them to get comfortable making cloud based games. On the other hand, I'm like, well, it's better to have it than not have it.
Yeah, I guess one thing that would be neat is that if they ended up doing, like, a membership deal for it.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'd be open to that, because I think how it stands right now, well, it's just not for me at this point. And, like, I would
well,
so...
we have all the
yeah,
consoles.
Yeah, we have all the consoles. I would so appreciate
this. We're big boy spenders.
I would so... Because, you know me, I'm downsizing my stuff a lot, but I don't think I'm going to get rid of my PS4, but if it ever came down to it where I had the option to just play all these games like that, it would be nice.
Well, if you keep your PS4 and get a few others, you can chain them together like in Chappie and hack into the mainframe of the government.
That's true. So. It is a powerful enough system to do that. I completely forgot about that.
You know, like three PS3s chained together. Don't worry, we got a supercomputer here. all right, what else you got for me?
Well, interesting enough,
you better have something.
I got a lot. No, I don't. Not much more. This is Mario Kart 8 has added Labo support.
I saw that.
So now there's an actual option in the menu to choose Toy-Con mode, and you can have that controller. Which I don't know. I think that's a cool way to make the Labo really possibly become more relevant and stick around, because I'm just thinking, I always think of the Labo from a kid's point of view. Make your own accessory.
Yeah.
Like,
yo, okay, I'll let you finish here, but I actually got something to chain on to this.
Oh, I don't have much more.
Oh, by the way, I got a good idea just now. You could get the Labo motorcycle thing and review it for our YouTube channel.
That's true.
Do it this week. And may have that uploaded by Friday, please.
No problem. I would love to have that.
All right,
I've been wanting one for a while.
Okay.
Now I have an excuse to buy one.
Problem solved. Yeah, I mean, it's neat that it's an option. It's good that they're giving use out of those things. They need to do that more, probably.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they had, like, a Punch-Out game that was compatible with the robot or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else they could add it to.
I have no idea.
They could do an Excitebike game.
They could.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
There could be neat little, like, digital-only games that you could just buy and stuff. And
have you seen that cardboard Labo arcade
thing? That's like an unofficial thing, isn't it?
Well, sure, because anyone can make them, the Toy-Con garage or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's on Amazon. It's like 10 or 15 bucks, and you can turn your Switch into a little arcade machine.
That's cute.
Speaking of which, well, real quick before I forget, while we're on the topic of Labo, did you see that Labo-themed Switch that they're releasing for the prize?
Awesome.
Looks really cool.
I'm jealous of that.
Yes,
I wish
I'm jealous that I'm too incompetent to even enter contest. So
I was going to bring that up, actually. Yeah, it's got, like, it looks like a complete cardboard system, and it's got in the back of it, like, the Labo logo and stuff. And
yeah, even, like, on the back of the, well, the whole thing. So the dock, the Joy-Cons, the Switch, all cardboard-colored themed. And on the back of the dock, I guess it's even, like, perforated around the edges,
oh,
like a piece
man.
Of cardboard
that's
that popped
awesome.
Up. Yeah, it's really cool, and they only made like 5 of them. So I know there's like some collectors out there who go nuts over trying to collect every Joy-Con, and I'm sure they're probably real upset right now that there's only 5 of those that exist.
Have fun, guys, getting those. So, but you got to get creative.
Yeah, get creative.
Make something.
You can get the opposite of creative and just like offer the winner like $5,000 for the Switch.
Yeah, I'm sure that's gonna happen to those systems. They're gonna be sold.
Would you sell yours for $5,000?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be hard though, because you know it's gonna be one of those things you look back on and be like, wish I didn't sell that for
quick
cash.
I guess you're right. Like, if I did get one, it would be really hard to give it up, just because like.
There's only 5.
Well, there's a big difference between, like, if someone just, like, if I just happen to get one somehow versus I want it.
Yeah.
If I want it, then I probably wouldn't give it up.
Yeah. What was I going to say again? I don't know. I was so focused on the Labo that I forgot about the,
Got that Labo on the head.
What I was going to say
Maybe
before.
You should buy the Labo now.
Yeah? You buy, I'll... No, you buy the Labo and put the review up this week so we have some content for our YouTube channel.
I'm not buying that Labo.
Come on, man. For the review.
For the review.
You review things like that, and then they'll start sending us free stuff.
They send me Labo, I'll make a review.
Well, you got to make the review so they start send you future Labos. I remember what I was going to say now. I on Kickstarter right now, I back this. They have a holster for your Switch so you can play vertically.
Oh, yeah.
So it's only like 10 or 15 bucks.
Is it still available?
Yes. And it seems really useful. I'll probably use it quite a bit because all the arcade games, the vertical shooters, things like that, things like Punch-Out on the arcade. Things like I bought Donkey Kong. I've been playing that. That's a vertical screen. So this is the first thing, and it also has a stand on the back, a kickstand.
Oh, cool!
So you can either play it. It has a thing where you can click the Joy-Con controllers on the side and play it like that, handheld. Or it has a kickstand, so you can just set it on a table and play it like that. So you know, you got Ikaruga out there. You got all these vertical shooters. You have various Neo Geo games, you have Donkey Kong and Punch-Out and all that shit, so it was kind of a no-brainer for me when I saw how cheap it was and how good it looked. I was like, okay, I'll get that, because I've been actually pretty irritated with the fact that they keep releasing all these vertical screen games, and the Switch is perfect for that, but they don't have any kind of solution to playing it vertically. Like, the kickstand is garbage. It doesn't work at all for vertical. You know, your Switch is just going to fall down and break if you put it...
Kickstand doesn't work anyway.
Yeah. So, if you're listening out there and you're interested in playing vertical games at all, go out, And back this Kickstarter. Let me look it up real quick and get the name of it there, because I think it's definitely worth the $10 to $15. So it's called The Flip Grip by Fangamer on Kickstarter. And yep, so I believe it ships in like September, October. So it's pretty, it's coming pretty quick.
Wow.
Yeah. So, got anything else for us?
That's about it, man. That's what I got for you.
God, you're fucking worthless. All right. So here's a just one last topic. I've got a hypothetical question topic that you're the one who usually comes up with. So I know you're kind of like downsizing now, so it doesn't really fall in line so much with you, but it is still a good question because you buy like Vita games and stuff. When it comes to game collecting, when is, at what point are you done? Like, when is what is enough for you? Like, we're not completionist gamers. We don't try and get every single game on the console. So, like, at what point are you like, I've got everything. I don't need to keep buying games for this system.
I think that's going to happen pretty soon for the Vita for me, because production's ending on it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe when a system's production ends.
Well, but we're also talking about like
classic. Just retro. Oh,
yeah,
retro,
like just
retro.
In general, like when is enough enough?
I think, I mean, this comes down to our conversation before where we talked about game collecting addiction.
Yeah.
So I think that if you want to be healthy about it, you need to, I think, set a goal. I think really make a list of games that you actually want, mm-hmm. and don't just impulsively buy things because you just see them.
Yeah.
And I also think it's safe to once in a while look at your game collection, maybe like every 6 months. It depends how often you buy games.
Right.
And look at it and really make a determination of like, what games do I realistically need to have in this collection? Because mm-hmm. that's a question that I needed to have for myself. Because you need to decide, am I collecting because I want to play these games and I want to have games to play? Or am I collecting these retro games because I want to have a bunch of nostalgia, that I want to just be surrounded by nostalgia?
Right.
And I think it's really easy for new collectors to get swept up in that, because they start seeing any games that they recognize is nostalgia to them at that point.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, I recognize this. I should buy it. I should own it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's... You need to decide what kind of collector you are and really evaluate why you're collecting. I think that's the biggest thing, and that's really what's going to determine what is enough.
Right.
Because if you're a completionist, then obviously it's never going to be enough until you complete the collection. But if you are a collector because like you just like these old video games and you want to get back into them, then you really need to like sit down and have an actual realistic expectations of like why you're buying these games and what is the sole reason of you purchasing these games, and having a clear set goal. And I think it's really important for people to do that, because you end up I'm seeing it right now, and I'm seeing it with myself. Like my brother, he's getting rid of all his stuff, and he's just getting rid of so much stuff, and it's just like, why did you buy all that stuff? Like he even bought like a I don't want to talk about him like this. Don't post this on the YouTube part. But he bought like a complete, like he had a large Sega Master System collection, and he didn't touch them.
Yeah,
never once. Didn't touch any of those games, and it's just like, so why did you buy those in the first place?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you always think maybe you'll play them or whatever, but then when it comes down to it, and you have, I can tell you from experience, when you have 1,000 games, and you're like, well. Do I really want to play a Sega Master System game when I have all these great, like, classics that I haven't played yet? Like, you just never get to it. It's like, yeah, you know, I'll probably play, I would like to eventually play Rastan on the Master System, but I still haven't played, you know, Mario and Wario. I still haven't played, you know, a lot of the shit I still haven't played and beaten it. So it's like, when I'm looking for a game to play, I'm like, am I going to go play like a Master System game, or am I going to go play one of these awesome like fucking Sega Saturn games that I have?
That's the issue that I ran into. Where, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Your priorities in collecting can always change. And I think that's why it's important to understand that your goals may change. in the future, like 6 months or a year from now, that's going to affect your game collecting, because you're going to go, okay, wait, so how many of these games am I really playing? Are these games worth taking up my space? Yeah. So I think that's my little... Now, there's no criticism against my little brother. Like, he did that, and, like, now he's...
So is deciding... he selling his games and stuff now?
Oh, he's been selling a bunch.
Well, should I go over there with a big pile of cash and try and cut some deals with him?
Good luck.
Yeah, but if I throw the cash in his face, he might want to...
Maybe. It's been really convenient for him, because he made friends with a pawn shop store owner, and that guy is just giving him whatever, because he's giving him... So, because
like, at cost?
No. But, like, 60%
value. Yeah, I'll buy some stuff from him for 60%.
He's a tough guy to buy stuff from, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a hard conversation to have with him.
Yeah, maybe I'll just show up one day with some money and be like, you want to sell me this?
Yeah, he's already gotten rid of, like, a lot of it, though.
Really?
Yeah, I would have really told you.
I told you to let me know!
I think because I was trying to buy stuff from him, and you would be weird about it at times, and I'm really? Just like, I don't want to deal with it, then I probably... I just didn't want to deal with it, and I figured if I don't want to deal with it, you don't want to deal with it, and I understand where, like, he's coming from at certain points, but he wants to get as much money as he possibly can out of it, and I don't blame him.
Sure.
I think he doesn't want to have the stressful conversation of dealing with someone close to him, and he just wants to give it to a stranger where he can, like, right. He can discuss that price. I understand that, and he's selling it to get money for school.
Right.
And for me, in my point of view, when I sell game stuff, I want to get as much money as I can, but I always go to my friends and family first and be like, all right, which of this stuff are you interested in?
Right.
And I'll get you a good deal on it because...
Well, because we never went into it with the intention to make money off
no,
of it.
No, it's always just been a fun hobby to me.
Yeah.
And you and I, we bought a lot of this stuff cheap too, so why do I need to, like... I never came into this to flip.
Yeah.
I came... If I can get back to, like... If I cannot lose money out of it, basically my goal is to not lose money.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure I did a good job at that at this point.
So here's another follow-up question then. How do you wrestle with the fact, we could just take one of your libraries, I mean, just look at your Vita collection. How do you wrestle with the fact that basically, realistically, you're never going to be able to play all those games you have?
Oh, it's not a fun thing to wrestle with, man. Like,
because even if you decided tomorrow I'm going to play all my Vita games, realistically it would probably take you many, many, many years just to get through those like 50 games you have.
Maybe.
I mean, they're all RPGs and stuff.
Yeah. It wouldn't bother it. I wrestle with it and I don't, just because I had fun collecting on that system and I got them so cheaply that I think I'm gonna have no issues giving them basically selling them back for what I got them for,
right? Because
I got them so cheap. But no, it does bother me.
Yeah,
it absolutely does. I do look at that shelf and I'm just like, I think when I first got into Vita collecting, I obviously got carried away with it because I would go into stores and just whatever game I saw that was like cheapish, and I would look up reviews on my phone and it was only like $10, and I'm like, well, this game looks cool, and I'd buy it.
Yeah,
and now I definitely regret doing that, just because, well, I don't really regret, but what I would do in the future is just that I need to just buy games that I'm realistically going to play, I think the issue was, for me, it all goes back to that, like, how long am I going to have the chance to buy this? Because in my eyes, I'm like, because the Vita has been on a downward slope for a while, how long are these games even going to be accessible to me at this point?
Yeah.
And, like, I just, in my mind, it was just like, how many more chances am I going to have to buy this game for like $5-$10, and then it's going to be gone, and then I'm going to see it on eBay for like $50 and be like, fuck, I saw that game at GameStop all the time for like $10, and I didn't buy it. So
fear of missing out,
and that definitely ate away with me in the beginning, and I think I definitely would go back, and I'm happy with my Switch collection right now, because I am not doing that with my Switch collection. Everything, all my Switch stuff is going to be absolute gems that I buy physically.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I was thinking recently, like, in like 10 years from now or whatever, 20 years from now, we're gonna be those guys who have like that fucking absurd collection of nothing but like, oh, I've never even seen this in person before because they only made like 2,000 copies of it.
Yeah. So like those I'm not giving up. Like, all my limited run game, stuff like that, I'm never giving those up, just because...
Unless you play it and you hate it. And
if I hate it, I'll sell it.
And like your Double Dragon 4. Never giving that one up?
I'll give that one up for sure. You want to buy it?
$2.
No.
So, all right.
No, I mean, yeah, dude, I constantly, and that's one of those things where when I move, I'm probably going to like take a bunch of those games, yeah, and they're going to be put aside, and I'm probably going to sell a bunch of them, and I'm okay with maybe not getting completely with what I paid for them, but overall, yeah, I don't think I'm really going to lose money out of it, and that's really what it boils down to me, is if it's unhealthy or not, is if I'm just pissing money away for no reason.
Oh, both of our, I mean, especially me, I'm not around you to know for sure, but my game buying especially has just like slowed to a crawl. And yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned earlier like making a list and stuff, because recently I actually went, because my biggest collection is my NES collection, and I've got over 100 games, so I've got, you know, almost 20% of the library basically. And I actually did what you said earlier, where I like went through Pat the NES Punk's Ultimate NES Guide, which is an amazing book. If you're into Nintendo at all, please pick up this book, the Ultimate Nintendo.
Oh, it's amazing.
Ultimate Guide to the Nintendo Library. It's amazing. Every single game in the library, all like even the unlicensed games, it's like 800 games, has a full page write up with screenshots and reviews and a star rating and a rarity of how rare it is, how many copies. Now, it doesn't say how many copies it made, but basically how uncommon the game is, how hard it is to find and things like that.
Yeah.
And I went through that whole book and was like, I wrote down, what do I want? What do I still really want? And made a list of all the games that the final...
You looked up all the games that you had and looked...
I looked through the whole book.
Oh, okay.
And made a list of... These are the only other like 25, 30 games that I want. And when I'm done with that, I'm done buying Nintendo games. And yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at, is I've got, you know, all these games, and I'm starting to, the NES was really the one. I don't even know how it happened, but somehow I just amassed, like, I have like so many great games and so many of the ones that I've wanted, and it's to the point now where I'm almost done with it, which is kind of crazy to think about. And that's where when I'm done with that, Genesis is probably next, because I have I don't have a ton of Genesis games, but I got like 40 there or something like that, but
yeah,
but the quality is like, I have all these games that I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a lot of garbage in there. So I'll probably go through that next and pick out of the library, okay, what do I really want? And, yeah, I'll start doing that. But as far as, like, being able to cope with the fact that I'll never be able to play them all, part of it is I have this crazy idea in my head that, like, when I'm old, like, eventually there's probably going to be a time where, like, I stop buying modern games, whether they get too weird or they're just, like, mobile games, or, you know, I'm talking 30 years down the line or whatever. Like, there's no way to tell what it's gonna be like, how fucking weird it is and stuff. Maybe it's just like what's that player, Ready Player One, where it's just like a VR simulation or something like that. Mm-hmm. So there's no telling what it's gonna be like. I have an idea in my head of, like, when I'm old and I have a lot more free time and I've stopped buying new games, I'll just start chipping away at this collection, where throughout the years, like, I feel like eventually there's going to come a time where I stop playing modern games, and yeah, I'll just sit around and be like, okay, next one off the list.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, to be honest, like, I think it's all about, some people just look at it like as building just a library.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, some people collect books, and like, is everyone's like giant library? Do they all read them like several times or anything like that? I'm sure there's plenty of people have libraries that they don't read like half the books that are in there. It's, to me, you just have to look at it as, this is my hobby, and, you know, I collect these things. It's just that once again, it just boils down to how unhealthy is it becoming for your actual lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because I spent $5-$10 per Vita game. I'm not going to go, I'm not going to, like, you know, when I start going through these games that I don't want to play, I'm not going to be like, oh, I spent like $50-$60 on these 20 yeah. games. So, like, yeah. I spent that money, and it's not a big deal to me. Like, I'll get most of that money back, and even if I don't sell it, I have the option to play them.
It's all about how much enjoyment you get out of it, and, you know, people spend a lot more on a lot less.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll go out to eat one time, and it's like, yeah, it's like a 30-minute, one-hour meal, and I just dropped $45 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, okay, work. You know, I could get a $50 game and it, you know, give me 50 hours of entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, I don't wrestle too much with the price, but just, yeah, I mean, realistically, I'm not going to play all these games, you know, but it's like you said, it's still a lot. I mean, me especially, I feel like I might even be cheaper than you when it comes to buying these old games. Like, you'll actually, you know, some of your, like, childhood games and stuff, you'll pay, like, full retail. I, like, never buy games at full price. So, a lot of these games, it's like, it's kind of cool having them on the shelf to pick up and people can look at them and stuff, and I only paid $2 for it or whatever. It's not a huge deal. I also have the space for it, though. So
space changes everything.
And I'm kind of basically building a library, like you said.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know.
I've thought about it recently myself. Like, if I wasn't doing what my life, you know, where my life's heading, I would have not sold all my stuff.
Sure.
Like, and I mean, I definitely would have downsized a lot, mm-hmm. but like, I would have been happy to like keep building my library up and stuff slowly. I definitely would have looked at it a little bit more now that you're, because once you've been a collector for a few years, you see what you have amassed,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, all right, I don't need to. I can be patient now.
Yeah.
I can just. I don't have to buy that many games because it's going to add up over time. And what am I doing? Am I just starting to take up more space to take up more space? It's like those Wii completionists where you're just like, why?
Oh, what are yeah, you with doing? All the 4,000 games yeah, of shovelware. 4,
I mean, whatever. More power to you. But, like, I don't want a room full of trash.
Yeah.
Like, I want a nice library of games where people can look through and like, oh, my God, this game looks cool. This game's cool. And I can tell you about the game
mm-hmm.
rather than... And for the most part now, when people, I've had, you know, friends come over to my room and stuff and pick out my games and they'll pull out a game and I can usually explain whatever yeah. game that they pull off the shelf.
Didn't used to be like that though.
No.
Jackal.
So, no, I love my current game shelf is awesome. Like, I really yeah. like it. All the Nintendo games on there are great. I got all the Genesis games that are perfect. And the Vita games, I could probably trim down some of those, but overall... I'm happy with my Vita collection. The system's dying, and I love handhelds. So that's just one of my guilty pleasures.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, you made it this far. Thank you for listening, and thanks for sticking with us. Please subscribe on YouTube, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, all that shit.
All that shit.
And, yeah, so my name's Pat, and this is Bowman. And
I'm Bowman.
We appreciate you sticking by and listening to us ramble. So we'll be seeing you next time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.